so much for the blessing, for the privilege, Lord, for the honor of being called sons and daughters of the Most High God. Lord, we thank you that you are not ashamed to call us your brethren. Lord, we all have family that we'd rather not mention. But Lord, you're not ashamed to call us your brethren. And we thank you that it's because of what you did on the cross, Lord, that we are standing here before you with praise in our hearts and on our lips. It is because you've given us a new heart and placed a new spirit within us. It's because you have removed the heart of stone from our flesh and given us a heart of flesh that is responsive to you, hungry for you, desirous to be like you, and it all comes from you. Lord, we thank you for this day where we remember the price that was paid on our behalf. And Lord, that you did it out of love and love alone. It's the only motive was love. Lord, help us to trust that as we live our lives day by day, your only motive in our lives day by day is love. Deliver us from any competing thoughts, Lord, that may be launched by the evil one. We thank you for giving us this symbol, the bread and the cup, to remember the foundation upon which we stand and the greatest demonstration of your love for us. So we ask now that as we turn our attention to your word, that you would just bless each heart. Lord, as each heart has need, either because of what happened last week or what's going to happen this week, that it would be relevant to their life where they are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Today, I'm so glad that the worship team had such a festive spirit to it and that we all felt charged by their worship, because today is a celebration. Every fourth Sunday is a celebration when we come together to remember why we come together. And this is a double celebration because today we celebrate a special anniversary as a church. This is our strategic launch celebration. And this Sunday is set apart for our reaffirmation of these objectives, which appear on the back of your bulletin every single week. As a church family, we're committed to pray and trust the Lord for three specific areas in our ministry, that God would use our challenges to draw each of us closer to Him. The reason why we have challenges there is because our joys and pleasures are an easy trip. It's the challenges that often cause us to lose focus. So God, use our challenges to draw each of us closer to you, and that you would use our challenges to deepen our love for each other and unity with each other, and that you would use our challenges to release the gifts and resources of our church community to the extent necessary to meet our needs and to meet the needs of those, Lord, who are outside of our community as you bring us in contact with them. So that's what this Sunday is set apart for, and we do so through prayer, and we symbolize it by touching the altar upon which are the stones we placed on it to represent our agreement upon these things. So if you do not have a stone upon the altar and you would like to join us in our affirmation of these things, you can place the one that's going to be provided by the ushers. Just raise your hand just in case you might want to do that. They will give you a stone, and they will also give you a marker, and you can, as you hear what this is about, you can decide whether you want to put your name on it. And when we have our time of going past the altar, for those who already have a stone here, they're just to touch it and to say, Lord, I'm still signing up for that. We're re-upping for those things again. And if you haven't, that would be the time for you to place your stone upon the altar as well. So if you think you might like to join us, if you're a regular attender of Valley Brook, or if you consider Valley Brook your spiritual home and you'd like to participate, raise your hand. And we need someone in proxy for our sister, Terry Nash. She wants to have her stone placed on the altar today. So, Ronnie, you give Ronnie a stone for Terry, okay? All right. So these objectives are the focal points of our ministry. We experience God's faithfulness, his provision, and his protection through the Red Sea. And we continue to trust him to light our way with them by his Spirit as we move forward. This day commemorates a day when we trusted the Lord to provide a way when we had hit a dead end, when we hit a major obstacle in ministry. And we all came together, and instead of just asking God to provide what was the obvious need, we asked him for something that was a little bit less tangible, something that was a little less practical. We asked him to help us through this crisis to know him better. Lord, whatever else is going on, use this crisis to help us to know you better. Yes. Lord, whatever else is going on in this crisis, use it to help us to love one another. Because what can happen is you can have a solution and shred and just demolish the spirit of your church. Yes. Factions, little petty cliques. Bruised feelings, animosity, hurts, and wounds that take years and may never heal. So, Lord, use this instead of the evil one wanting to use it to pull us apart, tear us apart, separate us, cause dissension. You use it, Lord, in a miraculous way to deepen our love for one another. And then, Lord, use it also to highlight for each one of us the gifts that you've given us, the resources, the way you've made us. You've placed us in the body, and you meet the needs of the body with the body. We're your body. So, Lord, use each one of us however you want to do that. Some of us are extremely good at being idea people. Some of us are extremely good at being workers. Some of us are extremely good at just being encouragers. And whatever you want to do, however you want to draw out the necessary resources of the body to meet the needs at this time, we want you to do that. Help each person to see their value to the kingdom of God and the riches that they carry with them that go beyond dollar signs. Use each one of us, Lord, as part of the solution. And so that is what we prayed for. That's what those stones on the altar mean. And that's what we're going to review this morning. So the first thing that we talked about, and the thing that we, and sometimes you just need to hear the truth, and sometimes you need to be reminded of what you know. That's why I was celebrating as you guys were singing that last song about it wasn't the nails that held. I'm like, you know, I've heard that a whole bunch, but it still brings joy to my heart. I've heard that since I was a kid, but every time I hear it, it reaffirms that truth. And it gives me joy. So hopefully as we go over these spiritual spiritual objectives, that you will find them reorienting and refreshing. So the first thing that we asked the Lord for was, Lord, use these challenges to help us to know you better, to know Christ better. And I'm going to take most of the time this morning on this one. The other two will be half this length, because this is the one that fuels the other two. Or you can think of it as the trunk from which the other two grow and are nourished. This one right here. Lord, use our challenges to help us to know you better. And Lord, at this place in our ministry, where we are right now with a thriving ministry, and our ministry is thriving, your relationships with the Lord, your relationships with each other, I'll say more about that in number two. But I'm going to tell you right now, it is a thriving place. It is a joyful experience to be a part of what God is doing among us in so many ways. And so I want you to receive this as God is doing it. And God has been faithful, and we want him to take us beyond where we are, further into the things that he has blessed us with. So knowing him, knowing Christ better. Now I'm going to read for you Jeremiah 9, 23 through 24, which is a passage that you've heard me share many, many times. But I'm reading it in the Amplified Classic Version, okay, to give it a little bit more breath for you to take in some other aspects of it. This version will be in my notes tonight, so you don't have to worry about writing it down, and you don't have to worry about finding it somewhere. But this is not just the Amplified Version. This is the Amplified Classic Version, and it will be in its full text in my notes this evening on our website, valleybrook.church. But this is how the Amplified Classic renders Jeremiah 9, 23 through 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise and skillful person glory and boast in his wisdom and skill. Let not the mighty and powerful person glory and boast in his strength and power. Let not the person who is rich in physical gratification and earthly wealth glory and boast in his temporal satisfactions and earthly riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me personally and practically, directly discerning and recognizing my character, that I am the Lord who practices loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, says the Lord. When we faced that crisis in ministry that was larger than our own wisdom, it was larger than our own power, it was larger than our own resources, those things which seemingly would have solved our problems turned out to be the very things that the Lord directed us not to trust in. Lord, what we need is a little more wisdom. What we need is a little more power and skill and leadership. We need that. What we need, Lord, is a little bit more riches. We need, that's what we need. And the Lord said, oh, not so fast. Don't rely on that. Don't feel like if I had this, the problem would be solved. Don't boast in those things. But instead, here's something I want you to focus on. Focus on understanding and knowing me. Now you've got something to boast about. That's where I want your faith and your confidence and your joy to rest. And that's why that became number one, because the Lord highlighted, you know what? Here's the thing that I want you to have as the centerpiece of your joy and your confidence and your hope, that you understand and know me. Instead, he directed us to something far less tangible and outwardly less practical. You see, because when you have a problem, you've heard people say things like, well, you know, let's pray about it, but you got to do something. Get up and make it happen. In other words, you pray about it, but then get up and you make it happen. Pray about it, but trust in your efforts. See prayer as the hors d'oeuvre. That's your little sampler before the real meal. See that as rolling up your sleeves. Then you get to work. Instead of seeing it as God being at work for you and through you. Yes, God may want to work through me, but it is my confidence in him that drives that work. Not prayer over here and confidence in me over here. Prayer as the prelude, but here is the symphony over here. And it's a subtle thing because prayer then just becomes a symbol. It just becomes a religious ritual. It doesn't become the means by which we transfer our trust from ourselves into Him. So the Lord says, boast that you understand and know me. The way we long for something. What is he talking about? Knowing and understanding. Not just knowing us intellectually. He wants us to long for him. The way we long for something in a catalog. Or in an online advertisement. Because we see how that thing will fit into our lives. And how that thing will make it better for us. When I look through the catalog of Scripture, when I look through the catalog of God's promises and I consider how they fit our church, I'm looking through and I'm saying, wow, Lord, that looks good. That would look good on us. All of us understanding and knowing you better and celebrating that knowledge together and rejoicing, truly rejoicing in the Lord always. Rejoicing together in the Lord, collectively celebrating our growing knowledge of Him. That is what I see. That is what I want. That is what I am praying for. Terry Nash, I just mentioned her, our dear sister out in Minnesota. She's also a writer, and she posted this morning, and when I read it, immediately I sent her a message, and I said, can I share that this morning? Can I share that with our church family this morning? She said, of course you can. So Terry, thank you. So here's what she wrote. There's a picture, she posted this, and there's a picture of a woman looking with anticipation through the blinds outside, waiting for someone, like she's waiting for someone to show up to see if they're there. And the picture then has this as its caption. Terry called it hot date. And she says, you know that feeling when you're waiting for that person? No, that person, in all caps, to come pick you up. And you hear a car, and you see what you think are headlights. And your heart beats a little faster, and you find yourself smiling, and you pull back the curtain, or you pull up or peep through the blinds. You open the door and stand on the porch. You look out down the street. You look up the street. Then you walk back in the house and look out the window again. You try to distract yourself. Then you try to calm yourself. Then you smile again in anticipation, just in case. You were wondering why I'm so anxiously looking out the window and down the street. He's coming. He's coming. He is coming, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. He is coming. And Terry's saying, I'm looking for him. I'm waiting for him. I'm pacing back and forth. He is my first love. He is my first love. I will come again and receive you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. And so this first point is about having an enthralling relationship, not just knowing him theologically, not just knowing him as a concept. As G.K. Chesterton said, think more of your relationship with the Lord as not a theory, but as a love affair. And that is what I am asking, and that is what we are trusting, and that is what this represents. This is what we're asking God to do by putting the stone on the altar. Lord, take us to another level of intimacy with you. Brothers, men of God, whom I addressed last week, God, take us to another level of adoration and affection and emotional connection with you. Let us see you not just as the means to an end, but let us see you as our first love. Let us have a heart that is devoted and sensitive and romantic in its thinking about you, even as men and not to have that challenge our masculinity or somehow cipher our testosterone. Lord, help us to see it like David, who was a warrior, but who was in love with his God. Make it so for all of us, Lord. We want to know you better. Knowing him better involves more than head knowledge. It's a longing in the heart, as it says there, personally and practically, directly discerning and recognizing my character. The Lord is as we speak. I want you to know me, the Lord says. I'm the one who exercises loving kindness, justice, and kindness on the earth. As we speak, he is executing on earth loving kindness, justice, and righteousness. You say, well, Lord, you got a lot of work to do. If you're exercising loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth, Lord, are you falling behind schedule? You need some help from us, Lord. It seems like your workload is piling up on your desk. I mean, are you sort of using a fire hose on a raging fire, a wildfire from California? It doesn't seem to be getting any better with your executing loving kindness and justice and righteousness on the earth. What's going on? Where's the disconnect? Any attributes of God on this earth, mercy, patience, kindness, all of it, justice, it all originates with God. If it wasn't for him and his presence and his mercy and grace, this world would have none of that. So to the extent that we see any loving kindness, any justice, any mercy, it is because of him. It is not perfect now. And he, being who he is using it to accomplish his purposes. And the primary purpose, you say, well, what is that? That's mysterious. No, it's not. It's very clear. He's using it specifically to draw all men unto me. We don't know how God might use the wickedness in this world, but I can tell you this. God is not the author of evil, but he is certainly the redeemer of it. And we have seen people who have become victims of terrible things have their lives turned around and come to Jesus because of it. And I'm not saying that God launches those things into their lives in order to bring them to Jesus, because the evil one is the one who wants to kill and steal and destroy. That is not what God wants to do. But God, being who he is, the creative one, will take that and will use it and will redeem it. And many a person has come to Jesus in jail. And many a person, without going to jail, would have died a Christless life and entered eternity without him. Yes. That's just my little human thinking. I don't understand it all, but I have seen this with my own eyes, how God has taken the plans of the evil one and turned them around and used them for blessing. He has turned our mourning into dancing. And he has given beauty for ashes. And he is a redeemer. So to the extent that you see any loving kindness, any justice on this earth, any righteousness, it comes from him. And the Lord wants us to get to know his character so that we're not blindsided by difficulty. See, we could have been in a spot here where when we met that crisis, throwing our hands up and just decided that God is not with us. But instead, we leaned into it and said, Lord, we know that you love us and we want you to reveal to us even more of that love so that we can know who you truly are, even in this dark place. Help us to know you better in this place. Let him who glories, glory that he understands and knows me. And it gives the Lord great delight when we get his heart. Doesn't it give you delight when somebody gets your heart? You know, I mean, they may not be able to understand your actions. They may be confused by it, but they get your heart. And they know that your heart towards them is good. You're a good-willed person, that you really have a heart full of love for them, no matter how you might have messed up or how things might have appeared. It gives us great joy when someone gets our heart. And the Lord takes great delight when we get his heart, when we trust in his character despite appearances. Ephesians 1:17, Paul praises for the Ephesians. He says, I keep on asking, Ephesians, I keep on asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Hallelujah. Lord, give us that, because there's nothing better on earth than to fall in love every day with Jesus. There is nothing better on earth than to fall in love every day with Jesus. So, Lord, use our challenges as well as our joys to help us to know you better. The second thing that we asked the Lord for was, Lord, help us to love each other deeply and sincerely. Let love be among us something other than just a platitude that we speak coming and going. I love you. Love you. Lord, make it real for us. Give us the love of Christ. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all. You see, we had a problem. Thank you, dear. We had a problem. And I have a problem. Yeah. We had a problem. And we were blessed by God to see that the problem wasn't the problem. The problem wasn't the problem. The real problem was, how do we love each other through this situation? The problem was not, how do we fix this? The problem was, how do we love each other through this? You see, sometimes you think that the problem is getting it fixed. No, the problem is, how am I going to advance through it? How am I going to act while I'm in it? That's the problem. And the Lord wants to provide that solution. And that's where he wants our hearts to be. So he says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Above all, the New American Standard says, above all, keep fervent in your love for each other. When the problem comes knocking, don't just look for a solution and wound one another in the process. Above all, you got this problem? Above the problem, love one another. Love one another. I gave the example. I said, you know, we're in the middle of this financial crisis, and let's imagine that we're all in a room. Let's say we're in this room, and the people on this side have one idea about what we should do to fix the problem, and the people on this side, y'all have a different idea about how the problem should be solved, the problem being the crisis, the thing that is the obstacle. And so Phil over here stands up and starts yelling at Roland and saying, you know what, I don't think that's a stupid idea. We shouldn't do that. And then Roland goes over and smacks Phil upside the head. And then Kevin's trying to pull him apart. I'm exaggerating. Let's say it's not blows. Let's say it's words. Reckless words pierce like a sword. Sometimes words can be even more damaging than a blow. So let's say the words are flying back and forth, and we're trying to solve the problem. And then, let's say Stacy's independently wealthy, and we don't know nothing about it. And so Stacy's just frustrated, and she's fed up with all the dissension. She's just tired of it. And she says, you know what? Hey. She calms the room down. And finally, James is the last one speaking, and he shuts up. She calms the room down, and she says, look, I'm tired of this, and I don't want this to continue. And she reaches in her purse, and she pulls out her checkbook, and she writes out a check for the whole amount and says, here. And she sets it on a table right there. And the whole room falls silent. And Deacon Gary comes up and says, okay, he takes the check. I'll make sure that this gets to Tracy. And the problem solved. It's not? We took care of it. We've got the money. The problem went away. It didn't? What do you have? You've got a bill that's been paid, and you've got spirits that are now depleted and poor and wounded. And the spirit of your church has suffered tremendous damage. Now, let's look at it the other way. Let's say that God gives us what we're asking for, love for one another. Lord, take us to that level. The bill may not get paid. But you know what we have? We'll all march out of here in love with one another. We'll find someplace else. See ya. See ya. Above all, love one another. And you see, the Lord is so gracious. You see, he's not trying to get us. You know, he's not saying sacrifice the things you want so you can have this. No, he's saying go for that because that will give you what you really, really want, whether you get this or not. But many times you will get this. And that was the case in our case. That God blessed us, that there wasn't a single person, not a single person during that time that got all ruffled up and started yelling and screaming and getting out of sorts. God, he blanketed us. Somehow he cocooned us. He gave us grace to go through the uncertainty with love intact. And Lord, that's what we want going forward. Above all, love one another. John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you're my disciples, if you pay your bills. By this all men will know that you're my disciples, if you figure out how to solve all the problems in your church. No, by this all men will know if you love one another. Above all, I had to scold one of our members this past week who had a need and concealed it. It's been going on for 2 weeks. I said, how long has this been going on? And she said, oh, about 2 weeks. And you didn't tell anybody about this? I mean, a serious event. That happened. Member of our church, somebody who we know and love. I had to scold them. I said, you know, we want to love you with our hearts, but we also want to love you with our hands. And that's not just being polite. You see, the scripture says, carry one another's burdens. Carry one another's burdens. And it says this about that, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. You want to be a disciple. Being a disciple involves carrying one another's burdens. And as you've heard me say many times, I was going to have somebody stand up here with white gloves and I couldn't figure it out. I was going to have somebody stand up here with white gloves with an R on one glove and an N on the other glove. And I was going to talk about how maturity involves being able to hold out to one another both of those hands. The R means I've got resources to contribute because God has given me gifts and God has placed me in this body to make a difference. And I am here to offer these gifts to you. And then the end means needs, but I'm needy. I need you as much as you need me. And we need one another. And if we're mature, we recognize that as a member of the body, that's what our body, my finger contributes, but it also consumes. It needs the blood from the heart, but it also helps me to pick up that little penny that's on the ground. We have resources to give, and we've got needs to be met. And I had to remind this sister of it in the context of us loving one another. I was talking to my sister about you all behind your back this week, just to let you know. I was talking to my sister about you. I was talking about how your love for one another, how it makes my job as a pastor such a joy. And, you know, I appreciate all the ways, and you all are remarkable. I appreciate all the ways that you show me that I'm loved and respected and appreciated. I know many a pastor would love to trade places with me, but y'all can't have it. This is my spot. And I appreciate all the ways that you guys show me love and respect and appreciation. But you know what matters to me most is how you treat each other. That's what makes my experience as a pastor next level, is hearing about the love that the saints have for one another. In Hebrews 13, 17, it says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief." Now, you all can give a master class on how to have your pastor serve with joy and not grief. Our primary mission, brothers and sisters, our primary mission for God on this earth is our love for one another. And I'll say this, it's not our love for the world. Our primary mission, you know, we're always talking about what's the church doing out there, but that's not what Jesus commissioned us on as a primary focus. The primary focus is love one another. You know, you can be marching out there doing all kinds of things out there, and your church is a hellhole. All kinds of problems and factions. No, the Lord says the world will know you're my disciples if you love one another. You know, and above all, fervently love one another from the heart. So Lord, use our challenges and our joys to help us to love one another more deeply and authentically. And then finally, to share our gifts with each other and the world. I spoke about this a moment ago. I'm just going to read the passage and I'm going to pretty much stop there. Ephesians 4:11 through 16, it was he, Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And then he says this, then we'll be no longer infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. And it ends with this, from him, from Christ, the whole body, every one of us, that means everybody in here, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. How? As each part does its work. As each part does its work. As each one of us embraces the value that God has placed in us. When I talk about gifts, I'm not just talking about you got the gift of service or administration, and I'm not that regimented. I'm talking about the gift that you are. Because Ephesians is not just giving an exhaustive list. You got to fit in one of these categories or one of these things. No, it's just Paul's just giving an example of what's available. He could just as easily have said, Edna's smile, Terry's hug, Ronnie's laugh. Whatever God has blessed you with, bring it and contribute it to the body so that the body is enriched by what you supply. And then it grows as each part does its work and builds it up in love. Encouragement, generosity, administration, service, humor. 1 Corinthians 12 says, in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? If everybody was a head, where would the feet be? If everybody was two arms, where would the legs be? Where would the stomach be? That's what I want to know. Where this 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. So I want to end with this. God doesn't ask us to measure up. He asks us to lean in, to lean on the everlasting arms, to trust. So we approach these things as we do all things, we approach them by faith. It's not where you are, it's where you want to go. It's not how dedicated and determined you are to get there, but how trusting you are in God's ability to get you there. It's not about our performance, it's about the relationship with Him that we develop as we focus on these things individually and as a church. Because for from him and through him and to him are all things. We serve because he inspires. We lead because he empowers. We endure because he sustains. We love because he first loved us. To know him, to love each other, to embrace one another, and to embrace what God has gifted us with and share our wealth. That's what this is all about. That is what Valley Brook is about. Lord, help us to know you better. Help us to love each other more. And help us, Lord, to realize the value and the preciousness that you've placed in us, not so that we can walk around with, as they say, the big head, but so that I can walk around with a full heart. And I can walk around and I can bless other people with what you blessed me with. You know, I don't just come to church just to get. I come to church to give. I come to church to be a part of building up the body as well as to receive the nourishment from the body. This is how it works. This is God's amazing plan. And every single one of us has equal value before Him. That nobody is a little you. Everybody is especially created and placed in the body. Just as he wills. Isn't that great? You're placed just as he willed.